Joining us to talk about that from Fox Sports is Michael Zappone. G'day, Zappers.
G'day, Ron. How are you?
All right. How are they going to come out of this little testing 8-day period, do you reckon?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. But they're flying at the moment. They are the form team of the competition, Melbourne Victory. They've won 6 games in a row, and only once in their history have they gone 7 in a row with a win. So that just goes to show you, in the 12 seasons of A-League, this is about the best form we've seen from Victory over that period of time, which is extraordinary and just highlights just how well they're purring at the moment. So Kevin Muscat has indicated that he will stick with his strongest 11 tonight, and they're a quick turnaround, as you said, from the weekend. They travelled over to New Zealand yesterday and preparing for their game tonight. Wellington Phoenix have really struggled this year. Of course, they had that change of coach with Ernie Merrick leaving after their loss to Adelaide, and they've brought in a new coach, and I think, on paper, they look like a strong side, but just haven't really been able to perform. So I think Victory go over there really confident tonight. They've won 13 of their last 16 games against the Wellington Phoenix, which is an extraordinary record against that side. So they've got the wood on them. They normally do well over there, and I'd expect them to do the same tonight.
Of course, everyone breathing a sigh of relief about that red card for Berisha being rescinded, and it had to happen, didn't it? I can't remember seeing a worse send-off in any A-League game I've watched.
Yeah, there was nothing in it, was there? And on the night, the linesman thought he saw Berisha make contact with his forearm on Luke De Vere's head, but he didn't. Luke De Vere made much too much of it, and I think the De Vere reaction was the thing that got Berisha into trouble. And I think De Vere realised straight afterwards, and after the game, he was trying to apologise to Kevin Muscat, said there was nothing in it. But by then, it was too late. I think that Melbourne Victory are lucky in that, you know, it didn't impact the result of the game on the night. If it did, then it would have been hard done by. But credit to the match review panel. They got together on Sunday and convened earlier than normal and made that decision to exonerate Berisha, which means the leading goal scorer in the A-League is available for Melbourne Victory tonight and will start that game. Last time these two sides played, it was a 6-1 victory for Melbourne Victory. That was the day before Melbourne Cup, I reckon. So
yeah,
it was just before Melbourne Cup on that traditional Monday night fixture they have at Etihad Stadium. And that just goes to show you the gulf between these two sides, and I don't think it'll be as one-sided tonight playing in Wellington, but Victory should win this one.
One thing that really impresses me about Victory this season is the I guess, array of circumstances in which they've won. Now, you mentioned that 6-1 thrashing of Wellington last time. You know, they've had those sort of performances where they've looked $1 million. I also reckon they've had a few grinding wins when things haven't necessarily gone according to plan and stars necessarily haven't played well, but they've still been able to manufacture a win. And then the Brisbane Roar game last Friday night was sort of a bit of both. I mean, they looked $1 million to start with, go 3-0 up, then concede 2 goals, then have a player sent off, and they really had to, you know, fight tooth and nail to hang on to the 3 points. But I reckon they've shown a certain resilience under a lot of different circumstances this season.
Yeah, and that's the mark of a good side, isn't it? You know, when things aren't going your way, you can grind out a result. And I think, you know, the weekend was the perfect example of that. As you said, 3-0 up in 27 minutes, and then they did relax. They took their foot off the pedal and allowed Brisbane back into the game, and 3-2 at halftime. Brisbane was the team that had the momentum going into the halftime break, and come out of the second half, and Brisbane were pretty strong, and Berisha gets sent off, and they've still got 30 minutes to play, and that for me was almost more important for Melbourne Victory, in that last half an hour they were able to scrap and work really hard to hold on to that advantage, and that was just as impressive as the first half an hour. They created some chances as well in the final half an hour of the game. And, you know, guys like James Torisi and Marco Rojas, two of the stars of the competition at the moment, they have been brilliant for Melbourne Victory. And, you know, they'll both be pushing for the Johnny Warren medal at the end of the year as the best player in the A-League. You know, Torisi coming back to Melbourne Victory has been a huge boost for them. And yeah. Same as Marco Rojas, two players that had played at Victory previously, had gone overseas and now are back in the A-League, and they're lighting it up. They've been brilliant.
Troisi, I'm just trying to remember who it was he scored that goal against, but a first-time chance from just on the edge of the box. I think it was whoever
That was against Adelaide last week.
Yes, excellent goal. And Rojas, I think, is the, you know, if you sort of come down to tin tacks, is there a better player in the A-League than Rojas?
I don't think so. No. I think, you know, he's right up there. He's only 24 years of age and, you know, he spent a couple of seasons at Melbourne Victory when he was a youngster, you know, 20 years of age and then went overseas and got a big contract over in Germany, but he never quite made it over there and decided that it was in his best interest to come back and play regular football. And he did say, you know, that there was no question in his mind which club he wanted to come back to after experiencing Melbourne Victory. He wanted to be back at this club. And it's been fantastic both for him and for the A-League. You know, he's so good at with the ball at his feet. He runs at players. Works really well in tight spaces. And then not only does he score goals, he's got almost, I think, 10 or 8 or 9 or 10 to his name at the moment. He also assists. He's one of the leading in the A-League for providing assists for his teammates. So put those two ingredients together and I think he is the best footballer in the competition at the moment. And it's a big night for him because he goes back to his former club. And it's a great story. I'm not sure you're aware, Rowan, but the way he got his break in the A-League was actually, when he was playing at Wellington Phoenix, he was playing in a junior young competition over there, and the Wellington Phoenix fans put pressure on the club to give him a trial, and the club finally caved in, and they gave him a trial, and the rest is history. He got a gig at Wellington, earned himself a senior contract there. And it was very good early on, and Melbourne Victory signed him from that point onwards.
Oh, very prescient bit of talent spotting, I suppose you'd have to say. Right at the moment, I mean, it looks like a race in two, doesn't it? Victory and Sydney FC. They were less than impressive, I thought, in the derby against the Wanderers. If you had to put your money on who'd win a playoff now, who would you have your money on?
Yeah, well, Victory, as I said, the form team, I reckon, you know, Victory would push them all the way. I think Victory would be the team I'd back because the first time they played each other this season, it was a controversial decision which really gave Sydney FC the victory. David Carney's handball, it was as good as a Gary Ablett chest mark. It was the most blatant handball decision I've seen, which the referee didn't see on the night, and he scored from that, and Victory had some great chances to win that game. So given that and the fact that they've lost one of their really important players in Matt German, who's their central defender, he's gone over and got a contract in Korea. They're missing him at the moment, as well as Seb Ryle, the former Victory player, who's another defender. They looked a little bit vulnerable at the back on the weekend in the derby. So given that Graham Arnold needs to fill that hole, if they were to play tomorrow, then I'd say Melbourne Victory would be favourites. And it's a huge week. You mentioned what's coming up on the weekend in Perth on Australia Day. The traditional fixture between Victory and Sydney FC happens, and that's at Etihad Stadium. So that could be the grand final preview. It's a massive game, 1v2. Whatever happens in the next couple of weeks, it'll be 1v2. And should be a huge crowd at Etihad Stadium. We're looking forward to that one.
Although so often, I've seen this happen in the AFL so many times, there are two teams that all season look like they're Monties to play off for the premiership, and then something happens. Some wild card pulls out an amazing performance in the finals and upsets the apple cart. If I was to ask you, who do you think at the moment is the greatest threat to the chances of either of those teams, who would it be?
I'd have to be Melbourne City. For me, they've been disappointing in the last month, and they haven't really played the football that they're capable of. They've had a bit of change, obviously, with John Van Schip leaving the club and Michael Valkanis taking over as the interim manager. But when you look at their squad and the players that they have at their disposal, then they can beat anyone on their day. The problem with them is not doing it consistently enough. So if you're playing finals football, there's one team you'd probably want to avoid, and that would be Melbourne City, because with Tim Cahill and Bruno Fornaroli and Luke Bratton and these types of players, they are all class. What they need to do now is get some consistency under their belt. I have no doubt they'll finish third or fourth, which will mean that they'll play a home final to start with, and it's a top six format. So three plays six, four plays five. If they play at home in their first final, then they set themselves up with a semi-final, potentially a Melbourne Derby semi-final, which will be huge. And it will be an interesting final series.
Thought Adelaide were pretty impressive against City. Now we've seen them do a Lazarus last season. What sort of chance are they to scrape into the finals, or is that ridiculous at this stage?
No, not ridiculous at all. I think they're only 6 points away from the top six at the moment. So it's going to be a tough ask for them. But what they have shown us is that they have done it before. And if you look at the same time last year, Perth Glory were in ninth position on the table, and they went on a fantastic run and finished the home and away season in fifth position. So they can do it. Adelaide United, they've certainly got the players that that can win a game of football, as we saw on the weekend. And Gia Moore is a brilliant coach. He did a fantastic job with them last year. The big question mark I have now is their ability to juggle the commitments of the Asian Champions League. So last year, they won the league. They won the grand final. Western Sydney finished second. So those two teams who are struggling this year now have to add A-League commitments to Asian Champions League commitments. And that kicks off at the end of Feb. So it's a very difficult schedule to do both. We saw it a few years ago with Western Sydney. When they won the Asian Champions League, they really struggled in the A-League. So the disadvantage we have in Australia is that we don't have big squad sizes like they do have in Asia. They have 36 to 40 players in their squads in a lot of these big Asian clubs, whereas the Australian teams are restricted a lot more. And the A-League squads are 23. They can add a few more to their list for Asia, but it does make it hard to compete on both fronts. So I think that might hurt Adelaide coming into the tail end of the season.
It's going to be a really interesting conclusion to it all. Just quickly, as we let you go, World of Football on tonight, yourself and Dave Davidovich. What can we expect on the agenda?
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about youth football and the fact that we've really struggled in the past to qualify for World Cups, and just look at some of the comparisons of some of the big leagues and countries overseas and what they're doing right and what we're not doing right here. And we'll have a chat to the head of the PFA, John DiDaluzza, tonight. He'll join us, and we'll also wrap up all the victory action from the game against the Wellington Phoenix and speak to one of the victory boys tonight after the game.
Good stuff, Zappers. Thanks for joining us.
No worries, Brian.